Hello and welcome to the Sid Warrior podcast. In today's episode, we have Pavan Rojwani. I am super excited to have him on. We are going to talk about artists. We're going to talk about content creation. So I look forward to an excellent conversation. Welcome. Pavan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sid, for having me. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Can you just give me an idea of what is it that you are doing?
You want a short answer, you want a long answer?
Oh, what? I want an answer that you just explode onto the screen.
You know, I started in my school time, I was like a geek nerd first bencher. And is it okay if I answer a few things in Hindi?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay.
Pura bhi Hindi mein baat kar sakte hai, koi issue nahi.
And as soon as I, you know, started going into higher classes, my benches started to move a little back. Like in fifth standard, if I was on the first bench, by 10th standard, I was on the last bench. And somehow, you know, that journey from first bench to large bench is when I started to do a lot of extracurricular activities. And chalo, are drama mein jaate hai, skit competition mein jaate hai, debate competition karte hai, and all of those things. And that, you know, stayed with me. And that became like an inherent part of me throughout my life. And even when I went for engineering, like I did it from Government College of Engineering, Pune, and I was still had the little nerd and geekness in me when I secured like a government seat. And even when I went to college, apart from, you know, being in the classes, I was more into the auditorium, doing different events, joining different clubs, going to inter-college competitions and all of those things. And some of my attendance was always like 8%, 9% in the college, but my attendance in the drama club was like always 100%. And that stayed with me. After my graduation, I worked at a manufacturing firm for a few months, but you know, that mundane lifestyle of, you know, entering every day in the Excel sheet, this is what has come, this is what has happened, this is the status, didn't really excite me. And I think it was January 2017, and I was like, what I want to do this year, like let's do some new year resolution. And I was like, let me quit my job. And no idea of what is going to happen next. Just I went to my manager and said I want to resign. And then I did not even serve the 30-day notice period. I was like, okay, cut it from my salary, but I don't want to like stay here anymore.
Damn.
And and I said this news to my parents 6 months later. So for 6 months, my parents still felt that, you know, I still have a job, I'm making money and all of those things. But on the side, I was like traveling. I went to, you know, Varanasi, I went to Sikkim, I went to Delhi, stayed with a few friends. And then I was just traveling here and there, and they were feeling like, okay, I'm at my job. Around that travel time is when I, you know, really knew that, okay, I want to be into, you know, the creative domain. I want to work around with different artists. And all of those things. And 2017, around May, June is when, you know, I thought of starting like a community. And this is back then when the idea of community and creator economy was still like not known. Like these terms, I also did not know these terms. And at that point of time, I was just telling people that, okay, I want to build a community and all of those things. And it went on for 2 years, which was more like a struggle period. And then it started picking up because, you know, the idea was still not understood by people. But after like 2019 is when it started picking up, and 2020 was going to be like the peak of our year that, okay, this is the best of the ideas that we're going to do. And by then we had already done 500 plus events across the country.
Wow.
And 2020 was going to be like a massive year. And then the pandemic hit us and we were like, oh shit, now let's take a break.
It's so crazy how in so many conversations, in so many stories, there is always that pause followed by, and then the pandemic hit us. It's like a twist in everybody's tale.
And then we sort of had to convert our entire model into like a virtual and like an online model. But for me, it didn't really fit into my head. Like for me, building a community, because I had already done in an offline environment, I sort of was struggling a little bit in the beginning to get used to it and, you know, structure it and organize it really well. But it did not materialize quite well. And that's when I started working with some other organizations as a freelance consultant, whatever you want to call it as, to help them with their community building, with their social media content and all of those things. And then I stumbled upon with my good friends at Pepper Content, and that sort of materialized. And now currently, apart from being founder at PFA, I also lead the community and partnerships at Pepper Content. So very exciting stuff that we are building at Pepper Content. And apart from that, a lot of other things that I keep on doing on the site. So yeah, that's like my long, short, mid answer.
And it all started with you quitting your job and saying, "Bus, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not this."
Yeah.
That's
what a lot of things are, right? I mean, you not always know what you really want to do. But sometimes if you know that, okay, this is not what I want to do, that becomes like a starting point for a lot of things. So I think that's how it turned out for me.
People often wonder, okay, what do I want to be when I grow up? Or people ask each other, you know, what do you want to do? A lot of times what you're saying makes more sense. Even if you don't know, karna kya hai? If you have a very clear idea ki kya nahi karna hai, that itself will rule out a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it will give you a sense of direction at least. So you may not end up with your perfect job profile in the first job that you pick up. But even if you're in that right direction, you will find your niche maybe 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, however long it takes.
Very true. Yeah.
So when you say that you had this idea of community, what was it like? What was in your mind back then? Creative economic ka ya community building ka version kya tha dimag mein?
Like what it is today, nothing, no technical knowledge about it. Okay. Don't understand. Okay. How the creator economy is shaping, how passion economy, whatever community building and all of those things. Today, there are a lot of resources on the internet. There are communities about community managers, community leads and all of those things. So it's very, very easier right now. Back then, the entire idea was that it should be like a group of people, but with a high intent and with a sense of purpose, with a sense of belonging. And how to build that sense of purpose or belonging is, even if you have like one common interest or one common goal or, you know, a common habit also, let's say, for example. So I think at that point of time, it was all about, okay, irrespective whichever kind of artist you are, like let's say painter, designer, musician, theater artist, performing, whichever, we want to be better at, you know, our creative instincts and our creativity. So I think we picked up that as like a common goal or purpose to unite people and bring people together. And all the events, activities, and at that moment of time, also the kind of content that we used to roll out used to be about this itself, that, you know, how you can upskill yourself, how you can, you know, make yourself better by collaborating with other creators also. Because somewhere or the other way, everyone has gone through their journey, right? I mean, you meet different podcasters, all of them have started from zero. All of them have planned out their idea of, okay, what will be the name of my podcast? How will it be? Who will be the guest and all of those things? So that peer-to-peer learning and what today is termed like as cohort-based learning and all of those things was the idea back then. But this edtech boom did not happen, and the pandemic did not happen. So it was not, you know, clicking in my head that, oh, people can actually virtually also, you know, come so strong together and learn something together. So I think back then the idea was that, but all of that was very offline based. Nothing was too much of an online model.
As somebody interested in neuroscience, I am fascinated by how physical versus virtual, the transition was made so smoothly by so many people. It just brings home the point ki it's all in our minds.
Yeah.
From meeting in a corporate boardroom and cracking deals to Zoom meetings, overnight, it seems like this is so natural now. Hum log yahi kar rahe, and the strength of communities that I've connected online who have never even met each other sometimes they don't even know their each other's names. It is all, you know, pseudonyms. Yeah, jo handle name hai usi se pata hai logon ko. Like for example, I have relationships with YouTube moderators who don't use their real names. So there is, I have a moderator called Voldy. I don't know his real name. He's just a pet name for Voldemort, but he's always there on my YouTube channel. He's a moderator and he manages the audience. He manages the live chat and I feel like I know him.
Yeah.
And it's all digital. It's all virtual. So the way that our brain creates stories is incredible.
And you know, not just this. So when I started working with Pepper, for 10 months, I never met my team.
Yeah.
Like I one of my team member, I met him 2 weeks back, but I started working with them since like what, November, December. So it's been like 10 months. I never met him. It was always like virtual.
Crazy.
And the first thing that when we met at our office recently is, and he said to me that, oh, so now I can see your legs also. Otherwise, he has always just seen me this portion, like what's here on Zoom calls. And it's so strange, you don't know. But yeah, that's we have made that transition really well. I don't know, you tell me if this is the right thing here or not. Maybe it was because we don't have any other option, right? We cannot step out, we cannot meet people. In fact, this is also in 2020 when I couldn't meet my dog for 3 months because it was at my, he was at my friend's place and we both take care of him. And we don't live very far apart, but I was not allowed to enter in that apartment unless I have like a COVID negative certificate. And the cops, when I called the cops and I told him, no, I just want to bring him from there to here. They told me that, you know, you will have to get your dog also tested only then.
What?
Yeah. And
nobody
all of
gets
this
animals
nonsense.
Tested for
exactly.
COVID.
Exactly. No, this is like, right, 2020 April. So it was right. Just like the start of it.
Yeah, the start of the panic. Nobody knew.
Yeah. Nobody understood what really happens and, you know, how it spread and all of those things.
They thought bat ko ho sakta hai, the dog ko bhi ho sakta hai.
Exactly. So that was like a time I was like, oh shit, I cannot even meet my dog. So you just don't know how it's going to be. So I think somewhere when we sort of realize that, you know, we don't have a second option or let's say any other way, we just have to get used to it. I'm not sure if that's the right approach to go about things or not, but I think that's the reason.
Think about it this way, that our brain is wired to make the best of any circumstance. Wherever you are, however rich or poor you are, there is a part of the brain that is dedicated to just helping you see the best, make the best out of it.
Yeah.
So that is why sometimes you may think that, you know, when 30 years ago, we were in our lower middle class times, but we were all so happy. Hum log sab saath mein the. And now, even if, see, now we are so much more better off, but sab log alag alag hai. People are in the US and all. Abhi log milte nahi hai ek dusre ko. We have this concept of, acha, even if tabhi utna nahi tha, we will make the best of it. But now that we have all this, we have to start that process all over again. Whenever, in every situation, we will try to say that, ye itna kafi nahi hai, let me do a little bit more. So it is like that evolutionary drive that the brain has to both keep you happy and to keep you a little dissatisfied.
I know, man. I think we juggle between both those sets of happiness and that dissatisfied thing that happens in the brain.
I mean, you deal with artists all the time, right?
Yeah.
So you would know that there is no such thing as a happy artist. There is like, there is a lot of angst or inner turmoil that artists try to channel through their art. And whenever there is that need for creative expression, most of the time it is something like turmoil that comes out. Very, very rarely does just simple, pure, innocent, happy thoughts pour out. What has been your journey like in terms of dealing with artists? in the last 4 or 5 years?
I did not understand and, you know, feel it would be so complicated, you know, because everyone has such a unique thought process and unique way of responding or reacting or dealing with any of, you know, smallest of things also. Mm. Something as simple as how do you, you know, like, and at one point of time, I was also managing a few artists. Like we were representing a few photographers, musicians, and like bands, all of that. And at that point of time, I felt that, man, it's so complicated. Because it's really like you will never find an artist with let's say XYZ thoughts and another artist also with like exact similar thoughts. It's very unique, and, you know, very like differentiated and, you know, set apart from like how commonly I would like really think of. And me being their manager, it was always about, okay, how, you know, I can, you know, get them the most business and all of those things. Whereas they were not always interested in making money. And at that point of time, I was like, no, you have to make money. You have to do that. And somewhere few of those folks really taught me the lesson that, no, not all things are meant to do for money. Sometimes what you're passionate about, let that be your music, photography, writing, podcasting, whatever it is, it could be just for, you know, the absolute purpose of enjoying it, maybe, or, you know, just for the purpose of creating it. Like, let's take, for example, cooking. I thoroughly enjoy these days cooking, and it's like a recent thing that I have started to do. And it's never about, okay, I'm going to click a picture of it and put it on Instagram.
Right.
Or make a reel out of it. Even when like cooking reels and cooking videos are like big thing, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I don't want to gather those views and all of those things. I just want to enjoy the process. And so what I do is I listen to music while cooking, and oh wow, it's very like satisfying to me. So dealing with artists in the last 4 or 5 years, and like even today with different creators, it has sort of made me feel that everyone has a unique set of perception. And somehow I have been able to accept that more easily now.
Mm.
Back then it was like, no, you have to follow this. Like me being a manager to different artists, I was like, no, you have to follow this. You have to do this gig, even if it's let's say for 8,000 rupees instead of 10,000 rupees, whatever is the number.
Yeah.
But in the process somewhere I realized, and it also helped me in my personal life actually, that the friends that you have, your parents, whoever, girlfriend, wife, husband, whatever, whoever is around you, it's very important to be acceptable of diverse opinions and, you know, different set of ideologies. And on a personal level, it played a big impact. For creators, obviously, because of the pandemic, all of that could not materialize. But I think it left me a big learning in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience when it came to having friends who are doctors versus having friends who are from outside the medical community. There is a tendency amongst doctors to gather around each other. So they gravitate towards each other. So because of having spent 5, 10, 15 years in medical colleges, having interacted with nobody from outside, which is why most doctors marry doctors. Because वही मिलते हैं तो obviously उन्हीं से प्यार होता है, उन्हीं से शादी करते हैं. There is very little exposure to other communities. There is very little exposure to artists and just what's going on in other fields, basically.
Yeah.
एक तो अगर if you're lucky, then some of your school friends turn out to be from other branches. So that is the one thing. Otherwise, once you're in medical college, you are always in medical college.
Yeah.
But when I was in residency, I like to write poetry. So I randomly just Googled poetry clubs in Mumbai.
Mm.
And I found one. It was called The Poetry Club. I thought, okay, it's not a very innovative name, but it sounds good. Let's go. And on day one, I meet Tripti. because she was the founder of it.
Okay.
And every single thing that has happened since then, I trace back to that decision of mine to just step out of the college and look for another group. Because it helped me explore my poetry side. It helped me connect with people from so many different fields. Helped me understand that, wait, doctors can explore their artistic side. You know, it's not that if you are one, you cannot be the other. And I mean, at the end of that very long story, Tripti was the one who introduced me to Tanmay, who got me into live streaming, which made me do YouTube. So it's like this big cycle.
Yeah. You know, surprisingly, none of my friends are from the creative domain.
Really?
Like my core group of friends, and nor my parents, nor both of my elder sisters, nor my wife, none of them are, from the creative domain. My wife is a lawyer. She is like absolutely about factual real estate and all of those things. And I'm like abstract. I'm fully abstract, okay, in my thinking. And she's like entirely factual.
Yeah.
My friends, most of them are into like business side or, you know, in the tech side and all of those things. So, and somehow I like it. Otherwise, I will end up talking to them about work and, okay, hey, see, this is what this creator has done today. Okay, this guy did this today and all of those things.
Yeah.
I think it's good to have friends and, you know, maybe let's say close set of people outside your work domain also.
Exactly.
It just helps you, you know, take your mind away from your work and give you that break. And then, you know, you can come back to your work and whatever your passion with more energy and like high intent.
When you say that somebody is non-artistic, I always remember this one scene. When I was in Lucknow, I had a similar story. I was doing my neurology residency. And I thought, if I could do that in Bombay, let me do that in Lucknow also. I Googled poetry clubs in Lucknow. Kuch nahi mila. So I thought, okay, if it's not there, let me start one. So I started the poetry club Lucknow. And in 6-7 months, it had a fairly good response. So every month we would meet up, 50-60 people would show up and people would read poems. We would give each other feedback. Invariably, her session, there would be that one person who comes and says, "Mujhe nahi padhna hai, I'm just here to support my friend." I say, fine, cool. Thank you for coming. By the end of the session, unke pocket se ek paper nikalta hai. And they remember that, "Achha, maine ek poem likha tha. Let me share it." So since then, I've kind of come to the conclusion that everybody has that artistic side. Maybe they have not explored it, but I don't think there's anybody who has not tried to write a poem.
Yeah.
Pawan, have you written a poem?
Yeah, quite times. So... And I think, you know, what you're saying is right. Sometimes the definition of being an artist or being creative cannot just mean on a canvas or on the stage. It could also be in the form of, let's say, how you make coffee or how you dress up, how do you experiment with your hair. Yeah. And all of that is like in creative expression in some or the other way. Cannot be like put into that classic definition, which was like in 10-12 years ago, ki acha artist matlab wo kareeb struggling person and all of those things. I don't think so that exists.
Damn. Like okay. It's a shame that the first adjective is kareeb.
Exactly. I mean, struggle somehow, you know, the word struggling artist has sort of become like acha ek phrase ban gaya hai, aise ek ye designation sort of ban gaya. But I don't think it's true right now in 2021.
Not since what you describe as creator economy.
Yeah.
The idea that artists can be paid as well as any other professional for their work. Can I ask you if there is a difference between artist and content creator?
This has been in the debate for a long time. And for me also to find like the exact definition and the exact differentiation is difficult, but I think they are different in terms of their expression and their process. A content creator is trying to probably make every piece of his or her content as a masterpiece and gather, like, you know, the most of the views, the most of the likes for every piece of content. But an artist is really just enjoying that process of reaching that one masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And this is just my opinion, my perspective about it. It could differ from everybody who will watch this or listen to this. But I think somewhere I resonate with the term in a more, like, you know, like serious way somehow. And content creator is more like, okay, chalo try karte types. Like I would also say, like, I am a content creator, but will I say that I'm a serious artist? I'm doubtful of that, because it needs a lot of dedication and seriousness and commitment to the entire process of it. But content creation is so easy, right? Today you can open a Substack account for free. You can you can open Instagram, Facebook, whatever account you want for free, YouTube account for free. Obviously building that, scaling that is difficult. But there's no barrier to entry in that. Okay. Whereas for being an artist, let's say, like, you will require a lot of,
you may require training, you may require a guide to show you how to do it. Yeah. There is also the difference between your commitment. I feel that as an artist, you are kind of committed to yourself and you're committed to the art. You're committed to the process of that art form. Yeah. Somehow content creation seems to be a commitment to the audience.
Yes, very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So the audience plays a very big role in content creation, much more than an artist. An artist will create his art form, jisko dekhna hai dekho. But a content creator is making content for consumption.
Yeah.
So who is consuming becomes important.
Yeah, very right difference, right? I mean, you are entirely doing it for the audience as a content creator. But as an artist, sometimes it's not about, you know, the outside world, how many people will like it, and, you know, what will people give feedback about it. It's sometimes just about, okay, I am creating this. So I think that process and how the output comes out and all of that intent is like a big differentiation.
Yeah. In content creation, the metrics of validation are so different. Like, share, subscribed. Yeah. That whole idea of you can have minute to minute validation of, acha, is it doing well? Is it not doing well? Whereas in art, it's not like that. Nobody's liking the Mona Lisa. Nobody's sharing the or retweeting Mona Lisa. It's just there, any art form. And you can have one metric, I suppose, when somebody buys it. But that is like a constantly changing one where, you know, somebody else can just outbid you. But that sense of content creation being like an interactive art form, it is constantly ki main kuch karu, tum kuch bologe. Main kuch karu, tum kuch bologe. So it is more of a conversation.
Yeah.
And artists have just, maine kuch kaha, tumne sun liya, khatam.
Hmm.
There's no feedback. Yeah. There's no back and forth.
And I think in the process of creating it also, right, a content creator can edit his or her video.
Right.
You can delete the video once it's uploaded or change the caption of it, edit.
Or change the thumbnail.
Exactly.
So important.
But if once you have created like something on the canvas, you cannot like constantly edit it. Otherwise, it will become like a mess entirely. So I think the product or whatever we create is also like a big differentiation over there.
Mm. Oh, that's brilliant. Have you thought about, in today's world, in 2021, certain things that a content piece should have? So if you're looking for a creator, if you're looking for somebody to get on board or invest in or something, what do you look for? Iske content mein ye cheez hai, toh matlab this person will probably do well.
I think the very first is it relatable? You know, because you're creating it for the masses, you're creating it for the public, for the internet. You want to make sure that the maximum number of people find it relatable, so that then it has more reach and you can sort of monetize it in some way or the other way when you have a bigger audience. When you create something in a super niche, the audience is obviously small, right? Your content could be the best. I'm not saying there's a difference in the quality of the content, but when you're thinking of it in terms of monetizing it or let's say with the brand perspective also, okay? Right. I think the very first is that it should be relatable. Second is that it should be authentic and honest. Mm. It shouldn't sound like, okay, if let's say I am a dog person, mm. And a cat brand, you know, pays me a lot of money and says, ki, you know, aap jaake iske bare mein upload kar do about our cat food. But I have never ever like spoken about cats. In fact, in real life also, I don't know how to pet a cat because I've never been around cats. So I sort of don't understand that. And just for the sake of money, if I, you know, put up like paid partnership with XYZ brand and buy this cat food, I don't think I'll be authentic to the audience that I have and honest to the audience that I have.
Right.
And third thing would be that if you are in it for the long run, like you are like serious into the content business, have at least some part of it like evergreen so that, you know, your content piece keeps compounding and people will watch it maybe in 2025 also. And maybe that's how you can be in the long run for it. And today people plan their content very strategically, the keywords that they use in their titles, whatever you do, videos, thumbnails, everything. They will go check on Google Analytics and, you know, those keywords as to what are people searching about. Yeah. And it's not just about ki reaction videos banayenge ya fir vagere vagere. IPL chal raha hai toh IPL ke baare mein video banayenge. Obviously they'll have that. They will make it like hero, hub and help content, right? I mean, hero is like evergreen. Hub would be like, okay, seasonal, something is going on right now. So let's create something about that. And help would be, okay, chalo, insightful upskilling and answering questions, that kind of intriguing kind of content. So the way people are planning content today is really, really strategic and very, very analytical also. So I think if you are in it for the long run, you have to have that mindset also. And it's not just about creativity. So it's like, I mean, Dhinchak Pooja, I'm not sure if you can put her into the creative boxes or not, but I think cringe, a lot of people also watch cringe. So that's like an audience. So I'm not sure if she would have thought this through, but I know that she has written a book about how to scale on YouTube. And you know, I am one of those people who have bought that book, and it is so pathetically written that I understood, no, this is not what she has thought it strategically. So I think, yeah, those are a few things that you should keep in mind with respect to content.
It's very insightful what you said, because every art form starts off with this thought that, hey, I'm good at this, I should do this. Like, for example, bachche bolte ki mujhe dance karna hai, mujhe dancing acha lagta hai. But the minute you get into it professionally and you take it seriously, you realize that dancing is not just about maintaining your rhythm and moving a body gracefully. There are so many types of dances. There are so many schools of dances. And then you have to go undergo training. You have to undergo years of that, perfecting those techniques before you become a professional dancer. That is the difference between I like to create content versus are you a professional content creator?
If
you are, figure out the rules. That's what I'm hearing when you say that, you know, you strategize properly.
And you know, somehow there is this in the offline world also. And I'll give you, when you said dancer, I have like a real life example. I am born and brought up in Aurangabad. Like my schooling was done in Aurangabad. And there was this teacher who I used to go for dance classes, and this trainer had learned hip hop from Germany, like in 2005-2006, that period. But hip hop was not that very famous at that point of time. But he learned it because he enjoyed it. But the classes that he was taking was always Bollywood, Sangeet, wedding, and all of those things.
Okay.
So I think in the offline world also, you have to really, if you're into it full time and, you know, running it as a business, you really have to figure out as to what the audience wants rather than what you are good at. So I think somewhere there's the difference, and these are all the challenges that come up when you become like a full-time creator or full-time artist.
Oh man, the biggest challenge that I faced is that when you start your social media account, you don't start it thinking that one day I'm going to make money from this. It is a form of expression. You want to put random photos of your ghar mein Diwali ka puja hua tha, uska photo dal diya. Whatever, you just feel like this is an extension of whatever I'm thinking, random stuff.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, you have to start thinking of yourself as curated content. My audience is coming here to see a particular thing. So now you have a conflict. Do I put what I want to put? Do I put what audience wants to see?
Yeah.
What is the balance between this? Do you have an answer for this, bro? I really want an answer for this.
You know, I go through it every day. And somewhere this is the reason why I have sort of become a little inactive on my personal account across like Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn here and there. Because I am into a professional space also where people, you know, will go to my LinkedIn, will go to my Instagram. I cannot necessarily always put out what I feel in my mind, right? Today, if I feel that work from home is the best, going to office is stupidity, is waste of money. But at the same time, if my organization has started like full-fledged work from home, it might become a little conflicting in my professional like life, right? People might think, oh, he's like their lead of community and partnerships, but he's saying this way and the organization is like full-fledged office working. So there is that conflict life. So not always I can, put out what's in my mind.
Right.
And I think somewhere this is very much similar. Let's just say, okay, let's remove this office guy example. Today, if I want to talk about that, okay, this XYZ creator, I don't like. For whatever reasons, it could be for uska podcast itna acha nahi, ya fir usne abhi recent jo YouTube video banaya, ya fir ye jo book unhone likhi, I did not like it. I cannot openly go out and say that, okay, no, this creator is not doing great, or I don't like him, or I dislike him, whatever. Because somewhere if I am putting out the idea that everyone can be a creator, and irrespective whatever field you are in, and you know, whatever niche you are in, whatever you want to create, just go out there and, you know, keep creating.
Yeah.
So I struggle with that conflict every day. I struggle with that conflict every time I see something political on the internet, right?
Yeah.
You want to take those 2 seconds. I think this is something from my manufacturing job days when in the safety protocol, it was take two. So basically take two is like whenever you're trying to do something crazy or, you know, risky, take 2 seconds to think about it. Is it worth my life?
Right.
Or is it worth my time? However you want to metaphorically take it. So I take those 2 seconds. Does this need my comment here? Does this need my opinion
here? Answer is almost always no.
always, literally always. So I would say that, you know, sometimes this, and this is like a year or two back, when we sort of had planned for a very big event and then we had to cancel that last minute for some technical reasons and all of those things. And people started putting up stories that, you know, PFA and Pawan Rochwani, please refund our money. Obviously, we were going to refund their money. It's not like, that was going to stay with us. But just instantly people like call out and, you know, are in the rage that, going ahead, putting up stories. Guys, please reshare this story, tag them so that they pay my money. And all of those things start happening. And I politely respond to it that, yes, obviously we're going to do it. Just give us some time and, you know, bear with us like for 2-3 working days. That's what all we ask for. But no, I think it went on for 2-3 days, but I did not respond to it after that. And I think this happens. This conflict is always there in whichever field you might be.
Yeah. You cannot, it's like bringing your home to your job.
Yeah.
You know, you know what they say that, keep your work life at work and keep your home life at home and don't try to really mix it up. The problem is that one, work from home, you've automatically mixed the two.
Yeah.
And two, when you say that social media is now your work, you are combining two essential aspects of you. Because social media is an extension of you, whatever you are, you're putting it out there. And if that becomes work, in fact, I don't think we realize that your own space is reducing.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Where do you express? Who do you talk to?
Yeah.
And this whole idea of kitna alt account banaoge yaar, matlab tum kaha jaoge? You are artificially creating split personalities.
Yeah.
There is a lot to be asked about creative consistency. Have you thought about how a creator can be consistent or how a content producer can be consistent?
You know, one, definitely, if you are full-time into it, you have to be consistent. There's no, so let's just, you know, straighten that
there's
out.
There's no way around that.
Yes. You want to be serious into this. You want to like make it big here. You have to be consistent. So let's just say, okay, that's the rule here. Now, how do you be that? How do you do that? Like there are multiple other, it's not always that you have to take this advice or take this suggestion from people in the creative domain itself. Like go ahead, read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. Like you build your systems, reward yourself, incentivize the smallest of goals that you achieve. And I think that's one way of being consistent. The second way that I like follow it for our brand and organizational accounts is we plan it like very meticulously, very well in advance. Like अगले महीने का हम इसी महीने पूरा कंटेंट प्लान आउट कर देते हैं कि ओके क्या न्यूज़लेटर्स जाएंगे, यूट्यूब पे क्या जा रहा है, इंस्टाग्राम पे क्या जा रहा है. हर दिन अगर हम 6 से 8 ट्वीट डाल रहे हैं, व्हाट आर दो 6 to 8 ट्वीट्स सीइंग, यू नो, इफ यू नो देयर सम बिग डे लाइक गांधी जयंती इज कमिंग, दशहरा इज कमिंग, नवरात्रि, व्हाटएवर, ऑल ऑफ दोस थिंग्स. सेकंड वे इज लाइक दैट यू नो प्लान इट सो मेटिकुलसली एंड सो मच इन एडवांस दैट व्हेन यू आर क्रिएटिंग इट यू डोंट फील द प्रेशर ऑफ इट. Right, you know, okay, this is what I have to do today, this is what I have to do tomorrow, this is what is the week's plan. And you can also plan out like goals for it. By the end of the month, we want to have 100 content pieces out there, we want to have 10,000 new followers out there. And that's like one way to sort of do it, like strategically and like holistically. Now, another way is, which is sort of not like the right way, and this is like luck by chance thing, is that you ditch this whole process. You are like, ki, nahi, I don't want to create consistently and all of those things. And I don't want to go by those standard rules that, okay, no, you have to show up every day. You have to, you know, stick to a schedule and all of those things.
None of that.
None of that. Don't do any of those things.
Okay.
Just put out something once in a week or once in a month also, but make sure that's like the best thing that you create. And somehow over like months or like in a few years, it will just like show you the results. So I think these are like 2-3 ways.
Have
that
you
I would...
seen this YouTube channel called Veritasium?
No, I haven't seen
it. It's a very, very insightful channel. I think he's a physics major who started talking about different things, multiple things. But he would take his time and he would make those videos slowly. Maybe once in a month, once in 3 weeks, he'll put out one video. But those videos are incredible. So great production value, great writing. He does it by himself. And that is one formula as opposed to, you know, like putting out a vlog every day just for your audience to consume something. That is another formula. I don't think you can pick and say ki one is better than the other.
Exactly. Yeah.
It kind of depends on what kind of person you are. But do one of these. That's the take home message.
Yeah, do one of these. And you know, just because in the world there are more examples of successful content creators who went by the first route, the consistent one. That doesn't mean if you follow the second path, you might not be successful.
Yeah.
It's just that there are not more examples out there who have made it through the second route. So I think whatever works for you, that's the first thing. And, you know, in his Oscar acceptance speech, the director of Parasite, quoted Martin Scorsese saying that the most personal is the most creative. I think whatever you feel, whatever schedule you feel that, you know, you should stick to just go ahead and do that. And I think that's when the best of the work will really come out.
That is so insightful, because the most personal, ironically, is also the most relatable.
Totally.
Like, you write something that you feel ki nobody else has gone through. Only you have gone through it. And you write about it honestly. It's like, suppose a breakup that you have had, or a very emotional moment that you had with your boss or with your spouse.
Mm.
You write about that and you find that everybody has gone through it.
Yeah.
But nobody could describe it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, honesty and consistency. These two things, you might think that they're inherent, but they have to be built. It is not easy. Because procrastination is, inherent in everybody. Everybody procrastinates. And everybody tries to, I won't say lies, but everybody modifies the truth because they think it'll make them look better in the public eye.
Yeah.
Do you have a solution for this? The first part, the procrastination bit. As you know, like, you're the lead content. I think you reach out to artists, you are arranging the schedules and all. This is a very time intensive process. Everything depends on time. Everything depends on punctuality. Yeah. How do you deal with procrastination?
First of all, I go through it myself a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it could be the smallest of things, right? I mean, it could just be that, okay, I have to, clear somebody's invoice. Or let's say I have to write an email to somebody. Yeah. And somewhere I might do a bigger work than that. Let's say I want to write a 10-page document about like a process or a report or something of that sort. I will do that.
Yeah.
But to write a 3-paragraph email and, hi, hello, I might just not feel that intent over there. And I might be procrastinating that for like days. It happens with me as well. So it's very, very natural. How do you avoid that? I know that, but I still go through it sometimes. So let me also put it out there that even if I know, and I might be sounding like, oh, I have got it all sorted in my life and all of those things, it's not like that. It's still there. Because every time there might be some new boring thing that will come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one is to accept that it's out there and, you feel it and all of those things. And how I make myself feel better about it is ki yaar Mona Lisa banane ke liye bhi itne saal lag gaye the. I think 7-8 saal ya kuch 16 years it took to create that masterpiece. So I feel like, okay, I'm also a masterpiece in making. I can procrastinate. So that's how I make myself feel better. There's something that in this Emmy acceptance speech, Michaela Coel recently said that, right? In the world of hyper-connectivity and always showing up on the internet, don't try to wander away and give time to yourself. And the best of the things might, come up into that. So I think somewhere, one, if you're procrastinating something for very often and very long, understand that you don't like it. Maybe doing that, like invoicing and those documentation thing is something that I totally hate. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. So now I literally have somebody who I pay like on a monthly basis. And I tell him that, this is what you have to do. It just gives me so much peace of mind, right? Okay. I am okay to pay that little amount of money, but it gives me like peace of mind. So one is that, accept and know what is, causing you to procrastinate. Second is, I think if you realize that you are procrastinating something, maybe also increase that. Like I wander away from it even more and, try to understand as to why I am doing this, why I'm not getting into it. And third is, if you want to avoid that and become that full disciplined, ekdam focused kind of person, become that 5 a.m. club kind of person, then follow those atomic habits ke, rules ki acha chalo system banao, process banao, reward karo, incentivize karo khud ko, and all of those things.
I
think I enjoy the procrastination.
You enjoy it?
Frankly speaking, I enjoy that, because it's It's also, and this is something that my wife also tells me quite often, that if I have like a deadline of, let's say, Friday, before Friday, or let's say this week, I have to get done off some bank. Okay, bank is also a second thing that I absolutely hate. Anything with respect to bank or credit card and all of those things that if I have to do, I'll keep it like till the last date. Or wo fir last ball mein chakka marne ki aadat hai fir. To fir, that's something that, you know, now she has also accepted that that's like the system and that's how it works for me.
Yeah.
So I think I enjoy it. I enjoy the procrastination.
There is, as a medical student, we have always had this thing of till the last date before the exam. It was a matter of pride. Kehna ki nahi, maine kuch nahi padha hai aur last din padke, like just crack it out of the park. But when you grow up and you become a professional, you realize that this is not healthy.
Yeah.
Because if you have only one thing, you can do that. But if there are multiple things, then procrastination becomes a habit for you in all the things. And then suddenly everything comes together and piles up.
Yeah.
So one trick that I do is to create imaginary emergencies. Like don't remind yourself that the last date is 3 weeks away. The last date is actually 3 days away. Convince yourself that it is like that. Try and set up a system that keeps on reminding ki last date is 3 days away. And it will get done. It's basically just tricking your mind. And the second thing is, like you said, outsource. If you can afford it, and more often than not, you may think you can't, but you actually can afford it. Because there are people available who will do something at different price ranges. And they will be at different levels of expertise. But you can get your work done for much lesser than what you think. And that peace of mind is worth much more than what you think.
You know, there are a lot of YouTubers who don't find creating thumbnail like the best of their, you know, let's say activities. So they outsource that. And there are right now so many designers who are like specialized YouTube thumbnail creators.
It's this whole content creator economy is giving rise to so many sub creator economy. Because 20 years ago, who would have thought that their kid would, even before getting out of college, just in engineering, just because he has learned a little bit of graphics and animation, can now be making like 50,000, 1 lakh a month just by making thumbnails for different YouTube creators, which is what is happening now.
And you know, I think one more point about procrastination, and this not just with respect to if you don't like the work. Sometimes, let's say we do this with content also, where, you know, we're just trying to make it perfect. This video or this poetry or this just like this post is not at the very best. I want to give it some more time till it becomes like perfect. And I think that perfection sort of somewhere leads to procrastination, and it doesn't really work in the content world. Then it will hamper your consistency. Then it will like hamper your, you know, getting those views, getting those likes. And sometimes it's just okay. You can always just say that, okay, this is like my first draft of it. And I'm going to soon, maybe in future, if I don't feel satisfied with this, I will upload something up similar again. Yes. So true. So I think that's something that, you know, you can always do and try it out. And I think one more way that a lot of people do to avoid procrastination is have an accountability partner. It could be about, let's say, going to the gym or avoiding to drink, like quit alcohol, quit smoking, whatever you want to get into any habit, or let's say get into the habit of content creation also. Just have an accountability partner who's sort of, you know, there for you to, not like a teacher, but more like a friend who can, you know, just do like appreciate you, give that positive affirmations to you that, okay, and give that positive reinforcement. Even if you have not one day like skipped it or whatever, had that cheat day, just, you know, not give you that guilty pleasure of it, but like a positive reinstatement that, okay, it's okay. Tomorrow you will do it better and all of that. So I think that's also one way to avoid procrastination.
Your brain is supposed to do this. Ideally.
Ideally, yes.
Yes. But the reason that we have all these problems is because your brain cannot handle everything at once. All of this accountability partners, or if you are in greater trouble than even a therapist, is actually doing the job that your brain is supposed to do. Yeah. But because your brain is busy at the moment, you are outsourcing it.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think about it like how in the Stone Age or in the, say even 5,000 years ago, in a household, there'll be, a man would probably know how to do everything, including like fixing the plumbing, setting up, building the bricks and setting up the roof and farming and animals, sab kuch. Like everybody would be independent. This idea that one job is specialized to one person and then agar ye problem hua toh main iske paas jaunga, aisa nahi, even in the medical community, ek aadmi hai, jo bhi ho, surgery ho, bachcha paida karna ho, fever aa gaya ho, wo sambhalega. But now we are specializing, right? Everything is specialized. So why not for thinking? Agar mujhe aisa sochna hai, toh I'll just hire this guy to help me think like this. That's what's going on.
And I think that will just help you get better at the rest of the thinking processes, right? Like if I don't enjoy, let's say, invoicing or doing the bank related stuff and I still force myself to do it, somewhere, you know, that is going to put resistance to my other creative expressions and my thinking, right? It's it will not just give me that peace of mind. So till the time it's not done, I will have that cribbing phase in myself that are ye karna hai mujhe, and all of those things. Instead, now I'm like, okay, I have accepted I'm not good at these things and I want to avoid that. Tata bye bye.
Self-acceptance of your own shortcomings is such a relief.
You know, this I'm a big Game of Thrones fan also. So what Tyrion Lannister says, that once you have accepted your flaws, nobody can use them against you. And I think it's just like there. Okay, this is who I am. Yeah. Guys, you have to accept me now.
Amazing, man. On that note, about self-acceptance and saying that, hey man, I'm fucked up this way. Everybody has their own version of fucked up. This is how I am. That also helps in your creativity because it's so honest. Incredible, dude. Pawan, there are actually a lot of things that I still want to discuss, but I wanted to keep it at 1 hour. I didn't want to take up more than that. Would love to chat up again. Would love to, you know, have you on. Where are you based, by the way?
In Bombay only. I stay in Andheri.
Yeah. Oh, aadha ghanta dur hai re tu.
Where do you stay?
I'm in Borivali.
Oh, nice. So my office is also like, the Peppers office is also here only, Marol Naka ke paas.
Okay.
Marol ka metro station hai na, wahan pe Times Square hai. So is the office and I stay also like nearby itself. I have lived in Pune for 8 years. And I used to come to Bombay like frequently for work purposes.
Yeah.
But I never like shifted and stayed in Mumbai. It's just been like 5 months now, 4 or 5 months.
That I'm adapting. You shifted mid-pandemic.
April or May. April, May is when I like shifted.
Amazing.
So I'm still adapting to the whole Bombay.
Yeah.
Yaar, kabhi bhi garmi ho jati hai yahan pe. Like today it's humid.
It's quite.
I don't know. it's really. I'm like, yaar, it was so pleasant few days back.
So in our bedroom next to the bed, we have a shelf where we keep 3-4 blankets of different sizes because you don't know which one you may need.
So true. And you know, Pune has such a pleasant weather. Yeah. Like
Pune is consistently cool.
Yeah, consistent. Like Bangalore is also thought about similar. But Pune is like nice. Okay, it will not change for a month at least.
Yeah.
Your every day it changes. It's like tomorrow it will like rain like cats and dogs, and today it's like hot. So it's still crazy for
Bombay is that moody artist, you know, it's just finding out their personality. Yeah.
But I'm happy and I'm enjoying some of the better services here compared to Pune. Like just like speeds. The people, the culture, the internet speed. Internet kafi sasta hai, but real estate is very expensive and
has
other drawbacks.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just enjoying now. Like on Saturday I went to Colaba side and all of those things.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, nice. This is the Bombay life.
You sit at Nariman Point for half an hour and you realize, the city has its charm.
Yeah, no, this Saturday I did like proper Mumbai Darshan. First I went to Bandstand. And वहाँ पे बहुत ही भीड़ थी. I don't know why. Saturday को सब लोगों ने वही जाने का सोच लिया. And then we were like, no, let's go to, you know, Nariman Point. So from there we went over there. While coming, I had a horrible experience.
The traffic.
So, no, not even like we went okay. late night, 12:50, 1 a.m. So, like while I was coming back, like we were on the ceiling and I was driving and. There was this some like nasty guys who were in a BMW and driving so crazy, you aisa aisa.
Right.
And being Punekar, we stick to our lanes. but here it wasn't like that. And you know, just like thoda sa aage jaake, these guys met with an accident ceiling pe. And inhone ek Wagoner ko itne zor se thoka ki Wagoner ka aadha part sea mein gir gaya.
What?
Yeah, and these guys, because this was like a BMW, it had full airbags everywhere, here and there, and the ceiling kind of like it was all like car parts yeah. and 2-3 cars together and all of those things. So I was like stuck over there seeing people. I couldn't see people also in those cars. I don't know where did the people go. It was just crazy. And this
the
happened
part
like
of the late. Car went into the sea.
Went into the sea. Like half of the car, like turn ho ho ke, went into the sea. And on the roads, there were like suspension parts of the car, mirrors, seat. The seat had came out of it.
Oh my
God. And I was like, oh shit. And we had to like just do because, you know, the road got blocked and
yeah,
I couldn't drive. So I was like,
that's
shit.
Traumatic,
should I, like,
man.
Very, and I cannot get it out of my head since like 1.5 day, and I've been seeing on the internet ki kuch aaya hai kya uske baare mein, who are these people,
yeah,
wagere wagere, but nothing. It's just crazy.
I was sounds like a big news. Accident, right? Like this should have been reported in the news.
I don't know. I kept checking on all sides, but there's nothing. I don't know. Maybe
wow.
And I think most of the times when it's like a big
high
profile,
high
people,
profile
they
yeah.
sort of don't put it in the news.
Yeah,
it's been crazy.
Damn.
But yeah, apart from that,
yeah, I mean, I was going to say welcome to Bombay, but now I think I'll wait for some time.
crazy. Super. When we meet next, we'll Done. Chat more of
100%. We'd love to do that.
Okay. Thanks, dude. Thanks.
See you soon, man. Bye.